Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Andy Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Welcome to another edition of the Real Estate Show here on A3OWCCO. Chris and Andy, good morning. Good to see you again.
You too.
And here it is. Well, it's kind of hard to believe next weekend, 1 week from this week, another holiday.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a short spring, wasn't it?
It's not Labor Day.
We were walking over in shorts, both kind of going, it's a little chilly this morning.
A little chilly. Yeah. Well, how was the past week since we've seen you guys last?
The existing market, I think, is picking up from at least a showing perspective. We're fortunate enough that we have a bunch of listings kind of in different price ranges, and really all the ranges did really good this week.
Yeah, I think so, too. We actually did see kind of an uptick. But, you know, I'm the only one seeing it, but I was seeing a little bit of a slowdown the last couple of weeks where we were seeing showings were a little slower. Traffic in the open houses was just a little slower. And I think it was everybody saying, wow, it's finally spring. Let's go out and enjoy this great weather. Get the gardens planted. Get those flower pots full of flowers. And there was the distraction of the fun spring stuff. And
for the new construction, maybe the slowdown. Typically after an event, you know, like the spring, you know, it kind of has a little hangover afterwards, which gets some good, you finishing them up. But then typically, I mean, everyone's selling them, so they take a little time off and start looking at the existing stuff.
Yeah. And then there's the buyers that are thinking, well, it's spring. Let's get in there so we can get in by the school year starting. And they have no idea that right now, you know, most builders are taking reservations into January, February for their closings. So it's to build this year, you'd start this year, but you'd probably end up at the end of the year or the first part of next year. So that then will defer people and saying, well, maybe we should wait till the fall to get started. And so then they actually will, you know, wait until the later fall. But I tell everybody, I said, there's nothing wrong with getting started 3 or 6 months ahead of when you really want to start, because lot selection, you know, the style of the house, getting the budgets put together, all of the financing that needs to be lined up. And then you have more options to make better decisions for you and your family when you have the time on your side.
Totally. When you can see it for a little while, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to start doing some more spotlights on different communities.
Okay.
And we're going to start this weekend with Waconia. We brought in Jeff Schultz with RE/MAX Advantage Plus. He runs a team out there in Waconia and does a ton of stuff, so we're going to get a real good feel for Waconia. And maybe a lot of people moving from Eden Prairie to Waconia, Denny.
Well, that's a growing community, and it's an attractive place.
It's a great
very
lake,
much
too.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great lake.
Got a couple of good restaurants there, too, as a matter of fact.
You got any good restaurants over there, Jeff?
We certainly do. We certainly do. And, Denny, we'd love to get you out to Waconia.
Okay, well, let's talk after.
Yeah, we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Lunch first, though.
What else? No talking about it until after Jeff.
There
pays.
You go.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. But we're going to talk about that. And I just think it's kind of neat to be able to get some of these communities that we haven't had a lot of discussion on, just to kind of get people to know it. I know Waconia's a little outside west of the metro, but there's a lot of stuff happening out there.
Very much so. You know, we got a text just as you guys were walking in. I thought it was an interesting one. And it says, are real estate agents required to take continuing education credits?
Yes, they are,
Danny. Is that a fact?
It is, you know, and when you're into the industry, they do require, there's modules we have to cover with ethics and other things that have to be covered as required continuing education throughout the year. And then there's, I think it's every 2 years they have that. I'm not 100% familiar on it, but yes, there is continuing education.
Yeah, we got to do 15 hours a year,
yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, everyone's got to do it to be remain mm-hmm. licensed. And, you know, when you first get into real estate, there's like 90 hours, basically 3 weeks to get your license. Then you got to take another 30 hours throughout that. So mm-hmm. it's not like impossible in which to get in, but I'll tell you what, a lot of people don't pass those tests right away. I mean, they're not super simple. So, yeah.
No, and I think it's sharp, though, because I think that in the industry, you know, to remind us of what's important, which is the customer. And I think that the protecting the consumer is really the vow that a lot of us take is to, even though I think a lot of people get into real estate for lots of different reasons, ultimately it's to help people move and do it safely and protect them. And then in return, we get to make a living in this profession. And it's, you know, it's something that a lot of us that have been around a long time take very seriously.
Yeah. You know, we get a lot of questions that we can't cover that come through the radio, but during the week as well. And one of the things that I had talked about I met with a few sellers this week and talking about open houses and mm-hmm. whether or not we talk about that all the time, that we have open houses, whether it's important mm-hmm. or not, in which to do it and kind of the pros and cons of that. I'm a big believer in them. A lot of people don't want to do them because of the neighbors, mm-hmm. you know, that the neighbors want to come and see it. And I always tell them, I said, who's more vested than your neighbors? I mean, they want you to get the most amount of money that you possibly can get.
Yeah.
And if they can know what the heck's in there to be able to sell it, because people don't just stop by your house and look at it. They'll come and stalk it. You know, and mm-hmm. then maybe they'll see a neighbor walking around. They'll ask a question. They'll say, oh, my gosh, that's a great house. That's the one with the pool. Don't you agree? Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeff, is that the same thing on like Waconia? I mean, you guys have obviously a fantastic market out there right now, and you're seeing lots of activity. And when you guys are doing your open houses, are you seeing more of the online shopper coming to see the house? Are you seeing the neighbors? What do you see out there?
I would say, you know, it's a mix of both of those, but generally we're seeing a lot of people come out from the Twin Cities mm-hmm. and check out our inventory, but we always ask them, you know, where did you see the house first or what brought you out to the open? And I'd say for the most part, they're initially seeing it online. Now they want to come in and, you know, walk it and get the feel for it. And mm-hmm. But I would say most of that traffic started online. And
yeah. And what would drive, so are the values, can you get a little more house for the money? Why would somebody move out of like an Eden Prairie and head a little farther west? What is the draw? Is it the good housing market? Is it the good, you know, jobs?
Other than Jeff Schultz.
Jeff Schultz team.
Yeah.
How much time do I have to sell you on Waconia and how amazing it really is? But, you know, there's a lot of amenities. You know, start with Lake Waconia. We've got the second largest lake in the metro area, 3,000 acre lake, and a fantastic downtown. A lot of amenities from Ridgeview Medical Center to restaurants we talked about. Mm-hmm. Two marinas on the lake, fantastic schools. We've got three wineries, a distillery, a brewery, just to mention a few things. Great fishing.
I've had to test those wineries.
We usually
out.
Get called when I call Jeff. It's usually from the deer stand, his fishing boat, or the turkey stand. But it's it was nice that you came in studio today.
Well, you know, I still have my camel pants on here, but it's
yeah, it's a fantastic market for that stuff out there too. So you get a little bit of both. You get kind of the small town feel, but it sounds like a lot of bigger town amenities. So maybe when we come back, we can hit a little harder on what's happening in Waconia.
And our friend Jim Gilbert, who's heard every Sunday morning here at CCO, lives on the lake.
He does. Wow.
And he always says every week that he's about 30 miles west of the downtown Minneapolis. Is that pretty close?
30 miles west of home plate, we always say, from Target Field.
Very good.
Nice.
All right, let's take our usual break here and invite our listeners to join in on the conversation if you have a real estate question. 651-989-9226. Or send a text, like some folks like to do, 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show. If you have that kind of a question, call us or text us, 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Chris, you got one of those texts?
Yeah, we got texts coming, flying in. Pros and cons to a 15-year mortgage. I mean, obviously, a pro is you get rid of it quicker. A con is that you got a higher payment. Anything you want to throw in there, Jeff? I mean, you get a better interest rate, so the less the term, I mean, you get a better interest rate. But I mean, are you seeing that much? I mean, I think people usually refinance into that versus actually purchasing into it because the payment's higher.
No doubt about it. That's what we're seeing. You know, most people start with that 30 and then later on refi maybe into that 15. Yeah.
Well, if you're smart, I mean, there's so many tools out there to play with the double payments, you know, the twice a month, and you can play with your amortization charts where you're paying next month's payment. You know, because it's out of a $2,000 payment, it's only $230 of it goes to principal. So some of the people are paying next month's principal this month, so they're basically paying double payments, and then they get ahead of the curve. Now, when the loan matures and you start getting to about halfway through that loan, it's about 50-50, as you can imagine. So then it gets a little more expensive, but hopefully by then you've shaved off 10, 15 years of your mortgage anyway. So
yeah, and what do they say? If you make an extra payment a year, you'll probably shave off around 8 years off your mortgage just to be able to pay it down, because it all goes to principal. But you got to make sure that you're right on the check that it's all applied to principal. Otherwise, they just put it in your escrow account. Guys, is credit getting tight or no? I don't know. I think it's good. I mean, you have to be alive and breathing to get a loan now.
Yeah.
We kind of joke about that, but it was like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell them exactly what your job was and how much money you made, and then
A loan. You got to remember, like, FHA loosened up not too long ago to 50% debt to income ratios, where they could now you can have a little higher debt. And they were saying, like, out of that all that did by changing that from 45 to 50%, it there was like 95,000 people that were added to the buying pool now by being able to do that. And then they were talking about the potential delinquency rates of those 95,000 people was so high that they're like, it's almost not worth doing. But the idea is to keep things moving forward in a progressive, you know, manner. So.
And programs are loosening up.
They're getting to have
better programs. Okay, is the other side of Lake Waconia from town landlocked? Let's kind of talk about Lake Waconia.
Well, Lake Waconia, 3,000 acres, and we are, again, the second largest lake in the metro area. And there are still some opportunities out there. You know, right now we've got a 3-acre parcel on the west side of the lake for sale, 440 feet of shoreline.
What's something like that go for?
That's $895.
Okay. So for a 3-acre lot on Lake Waconia.
Yeah.
That's not really that bad, is it? I mean, what are being built there? I mean, what kind of level of homes that are on the lake?
On the lake, it ranges anywhere from about, you know, 600-700 up to about 2 million or so.
So that's comparable to like a Prior Lake.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gotten in. Prior Lake's just half the size.
Yeah.
That's all. So we're talking about Lola's. That's the only restaurant then on the lake?
On the lake it is, yeah. It's the only restaurant on the lake. But we do have two marinas out there, but Lola's fantastic place, you know.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot. I mean, that's a big parcel. Is there just one building eligibility on
that? There's just one eligibility on that right now. That's correct, yeah.
Okay. So what do you think this texter's talking about? But being is it landlocked? I mean, there's not really – is there land that's not buildable?
Well, as you go over to on the north end of the lake, there's – and on the east side of the lake, there's, you know, limited building opportunities just for how the layout of the lake and the road wraps around the lake. So, it limits to what we can do on that side of the lake.
Is it public access?
Yes, so we've got a few public accesses on the lake.
Okay, I was talking about those wineries. You mentioned those, and my wife likes those, so I have to go check them out. And so that's brought us to Waconia, but I've seen a lot of development happening too.
Yeah, we've got a range of everything out there. You know, if you're a young family or family looking to move out to Waconia, you know, and purchase a 3 or 4 bedroom house, we've got a lot of opportunity in and around that $300,000 to $400,000 price range yet, and some good variety and. You know, great schools and a thriving downtown, so great place to be.
Yeah, and as far as location goes, proximity to, like, the airport.
35, 40 minutes from Waconia to drive to the airport.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just not – it's just not that bad.
It's not.
I mean, and we're talking downtown. I mean, I do a lot of stuff south of the river. But, I mean, for us to get, you know, downtown, it's 45 minutes. You know, but everyone thinks Waconia is so far out, but it's really not.
They do. You know, maybe 5, 6, 8 years ago, they – expanded the highway system going out there, County Road 10 and 212, and it's you know, there's about 2 stoplights between Waconia and getting into the cities now if you take that route, and it's really loosened things up.
It really is fast.
Yeah.
What about the school system there?
Fantastic schools. We're growing out there, so our class sizes have really increased, but the schools are, you know, rated very high. We've got just a fantastic, you know, group of people running our school system out there, and they're doing great.
How about the surrounding communities? Mm-hmm. You know, outlying communities around Waconia.
You know, there's no doubt, you know, Waconia has a lot of the amenities out in our area. And, you know, prices are a little more expensive in the Waconia area. If you're willing to drive 5 to 10 miles west, southwest, you definitely get a lot more bang for your buck. And, You know, there's new construction surrounding that area. If you go south of Waconia to Cologne, Norwood Young America, Mayor.
I know. I saw Cologne was, I mean, getting a lot of new construction.
It is. And, you know, that's a really easy drive. You know, 212 runs right through Cologne, and you can skip on into the Twin Cities there. And
you know, that, Andy, that's what we used to see. I mean, when the market was going crazy back in that, you know, early 2000s, that, mm-hmm. I mean, it started all that new construction started moving out further because people sure. were like, hey, I want to get in there, but you're going to have to drive a little further because the land was less expensive.
And I think that's the ever, and you know, that and gas prices and a lot of other factors are going to people saying, you know what, I'm okay with driving an extra 15 or 20 minutes. Land prices are generally lower. There's, like we talked about, all the great amenities, the qualities of the schools, the small town feel. There's a lot of people that want big town living, but they want that small town feel. That's why we brought Jeff in today, because Waconia is a shining example of the best of all worlds. The fishing, the hunting, you get the small town feel, but you still are just so close to everything from medical to, you know, anyway, and not to sound like a proposal. I mean, I've been through Waconia once a year on my way down to deer hunting down in Marshall, and I wave at Jeff when I go through town, and that's about it. But otherwise, it's a beautiful town.
It's fantastic. You know, and our city and our Chamber of Commerce have done such a great job of promoting Waconia. We have some fantastic festivals out there. You know, five, 6 years ago, held the Governor's Fishing Opener out there. We have, you know, Carver County Fair to Nickel Dickel Day. There's constantly a festival going on.
You guys really threw us off when you routed the road out of town and then around the bypass kind of. For me, that really threw me off because I used to really enjoy driving through town and seeing all the little, you know, the implements and the whatever.
It's a cool little town.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we have to take our usual break.
I have one important thing to ask.
Will you tell?
Is there a Buffalo Wild Wings in Waconia?
There is not, but we have a place called Hoppers with great burgers.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Hang on. We'll be right back, I think, with more of The Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Real Estate Show. If you have that kind of a question, we'll take it either by phone or by text, 651-989-9226. Or if it's easier, send us a text, 81807. Here again, Chris and Andy.
Yeah, we've been getting some really good info on Waconia. And yeah. What is that bar I have to go to?
Iron Tap.
Iron Tap is another place. We actually did go there once. But just a really cool, it's kind of like that old downtown.
But aren't chicken wings hard to eat on your jet ski, Chris, when you're going across the lake with the...
Yeah, they are, but you got to be talented to do that.
You make them into a necklace, and you just eat them around your necklace.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's talk a little real estate.
Yeah.
So hopefully when you list your house, you're going to get an offer on it, and you're going to have to accept it. And preparing for that and how to choose that the best offer for you, mm-hmm. I think we can kind of maybe hit a little on that on that topic, because I'll tell you what you kind of got to know where you're – when you're going into this – you know, kind of where you're going to end up and be. Obviously, what we do is we go over net sheets to be able to show people, hey, what all the costs are involved. But what would you say as far as, I don't know, kind of like closing dates?
Yeah.
You know, closing dates I think are super important. Personal property.
Right.
I think is super important.
Well, and I look at it like this. I look at an offer that comes in as having legs on it. You know, legs are good closing dates, good price. Clean inspection. You know, I want more things to hold that offer together and hold it up. And if there's not, if the only thing on there, like a lot of times you come into negotiating where there's the one thing that everybody focuses on, which is price, and then they zing you on about three other things. And Jeff, I mean, you've been doing this obviously, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times. So how do you take an offer? What's the first thing you look at for your client?
Well, I always see them, you know, the first thing when I, you know, talk to Mr. and Mrs. Seller that we've got an offer on your home, first thing they always want to say, well, what's the price, right?
Right.
You mentioned
yep.
it, Andy, and I always tell them, well, there's more to an offer than just price. The terms are absolutely critical. And I say it can be a very emotional time, so let's sit down and look at the whole package. Mm-hmm. You know, what's important to you, Mr. and Mrs. Seller? Is it that close date? Is it, mm-hmm. you know, and make a well-informed decision?
Yeah.
And
well, contingencies is a big thing. I mean, yeah. you can throw out the biggest price ever, but that's if I sell my house and if I can finance it and if the inspection goes well, and, you know, so there's a lot
Those
of ifs
would've,
in the process.
Offers. I don't even like to look at them anymore. I mean, I know that a lot of people say, oh, we'll take a contingent offer. In today's market, you really, really, really have to look hard at that offer and say, you know, are there enough legs on this, as I'd say, to make this worth pulling us away from the hot market that's out there? Because even if they're great people and they have a great story, and like we've jokingly said this before, a lot of really good buyer's agents go out there and really sell hard to us selling agents that are out there saying, hey, here's why you want to actually work with my client. Here's why. Look at, oh, they're sweet. They have two little kids and a dog, and they love the schools. And, you know, they give us every reason in the world to get us focused on everything but the fact that they're contingent, right? So as a distractionary tactic, as a buyer's agent, I think it's great. But as a selling agent, we really, I think, up front, wouldn't you say, Jeff, the planning of how do we want our offer to look like, even as a listing, you know, we want to see this kind of a closing date up front. We need to see this kind of a range on price. We need to see this. You know, we understand these are the things we want to have fixed in the home or whatever ahead of time. How much prep work do you do with your sellers, I mean, to get them ready for an offer?
Part of the, you know, when I first go on that listing presentation, I talk to them about some things that we're going to look for when an offer comes in that mm-hmm. are, you know, more important than just price. You know, earnest money, limited amount of contingencies, and I press real hard on that home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are some realistic things that might pop up, and what are some things that, you know, the buyer's buying an existing home that they got to plan for?
Kind of accept, yeah. And well, I think... my turn, Andy.
All right.
Do I need to separate you two?
Yeah, you
hand
are.
Me the clothespin. I'll click my lips.
This is a weekly thing, by the way.
Yeah.
It's always like this. But anyways, getting on the same page as your seller.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times what happens is that a seller, I don't want to tell my agent, you know, really what I'll take. You need to talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget I had one where these people were saying, oh, yeah, we don't really need to sell. It's no big deal. If we get it, we get it. Okay, all right, that's the way we're going. Well, they'd already missed two payments, you know, and then all of a sudden in 30 days we go, we got to get this sold. It's got to get done. And I said, well, I mean, there's marketing plays that you do on certain houses and how mm-hmm. you do it. And it, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, we got to adjust. And so that's a big thing that I practice is we got to get on the same exact page in what we're going to do and have a plan.
Yeah, sitting
well,
down
your
early
team,
to
yeah. –
to talk about the seller's goals, you know, what are they after, you know, and exactly what you just pointed on there, Chris, I've been in that situation and Mr. Seller is thinking completely different.
And Mrs. Seller.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then, you know, the other thing that I think is sometimes the distraction is the offer that comes in that is higher. And then by the time you look at all the other ways they can weasel out of it or that they could come back at you, and then you look at the lower offer, but it's clean, it's cash or it's no inspection or it's whatever. And then you start really strategizing side by side because here's what ultimately matters. What's your seller's bottom line? In my opinion, my job is to get them the most amount of money possible, bottom line, and get their goal accomplished of when they want to close, when they want to get out of there, you know, achieve those kind of goals. And it can be done. And I'm telling you, like we keep saying, everybody looks at that number and you got to look at all the numbers and you got to look at, did they sneak in closing costs or did they put in these lender fees that all of a sudden they can zing you with on the backside? Or did they put verbiage in there about if the house doesn't appraise, we can renegotiate? I mean, all these things are factors that go into accepting an
well,
offer.
I think the buyers, I mean, should be listening here too and exactly mm-hmm. to this conversation because that's what the sellers are looking at. And if you start doing that and start adding all these weird things and start
right.
asking for stuff, the psychology is it's like, okay, they're going to be a real pain when it comes to the inspection. They're going to start asking for this.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep it as clean as you possibly can, you know, because the less things that a seller has to think about is way better for you, you know. So that – and we do a ton of pre-negotiating before that offer ever happens. You know, mm-hmm. the agent calls us. Hopefully the agent calls us. Sometimes they just email it over. But if they call us, they start talking about, hey, when are you thinking your people want to close? I mean, because if I can set that up, if I'm on the buyer side and say, hey, you know what? I want to close June 30th. Oh, my gosh, that's the exact date that we wanted. You know, now that one's almost better. I've had it where people have looked at it and said, oh, I want that closing date, you know, but this other offer is bigger, but they don't want to double move. So mm-hmm. you got to think about that from both sides.
And I've seen that, too, where people will say, OK, fine, we'll give you the closing date. We'll give you the price you want. But then we want all the patio furniture. And you're like, come on. I mean, it's like it's all just schoolyard negotiating in some cases where I always the other thing that I always tell every one of my sellers is, hey, if it shows, it goes. If you don't want it to go, get it out of here ahead of time before you list the house, because inevitably that could become a negotiating thing. That heirloom piece of furniture or that lighting fixture that grandpa made for you or whatever, they're going to ask for it. Get it out of here so they don't, you know, cause problems. So.
Well, and isn't it the truth that personal property causes so many? I mean, it's just
it's crazy. You get down on a $300,000-$400,000 sale, and we're talking about a $150.
The blinds in the one room that is like we're not buying it, but it's more than that. It becomes principal,
mm-hmm.
and when we start fighting over that, yeah. I mean, you got to get that stuff out of the way.
I've literally been at a closing table where we were sitting there with a client that had a couch in the basement. And the wife was standing there, and she said, you know, to the seller that they paid for that couch. And she says, well, we couldn't get it out of the basement anyway, which upset the buyer. The buyer says, well, so it would have been stuck here anyway, so you should have just gave it to me. She goes, well, who cares? That's pleather anyway. He said, I thought this was leather. We're standing there watching this thing explode at closing over a couch that was worth probably $50. I mean, and I'm telling you, people, you're negotiating on real estate, not on personal property. Keep it zipped. You know, I mean, that's why a lot of times realtors, you know, you think, oh, they're not even letting us meet the seller. They're putting us in separate rooms. That might be strategic on your part to protect you.
Well, here's the other thing, too. That little couch that you were talking about, mm-hmm. it's not really about the couch. It's about what else are they hiding now?
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, they said that about there. What about that furnace? I guarantee you they had someone. And then it that's how it blows mm-hmm. up.
Hey, Denny.
Yes.
We don't have any of these issues out in Waconia.
I bet that's true.
Well, let's see if you do this on the text.
You have nicer couches.
Yes. There. As a seller, do you recommend getting your own home inspector prior to putting your home on the market? All three of us. What do we say? Andy doesn't want to talk?
No, here's the thing. I mean, you know what your house is. You've lived there. You know what needs to be done. I don't do it because some people like it. Some people don't. My personal opinion is you're going to produce a report that you spend a lot of money on that nobody's going to respect anyway because they think that it's, you know, paid for by you so that it's weighing in your favor. It's my opinion. Jeff? No.
Case-by-case basis, but the vast majority of the time I'd say I'd agree with Andy on that. Some older house with a lot of problems, maybe bring in a HVAC contractor, electrician, nip some of that stuff in the butt right away. But
bids.
And sometimes maybe if you have a real hot house that's going to go into a real hot market, mm-hmm. maybe getting that inspection done ahead of time might be able to get other people to say, hey, I'll accept that inspection, and then we'll just move on to closing. And so you might, you know, that might be a situation, but I agree with you.
I think in that play, like let's say that it's a condo or a townhouse where there's not a lot of variables that you have to worry about as a homeowner. There's just the interior stuff. That may work just fine.
Yeah. And look at the market that we're in, too. It's so competitive that I think buyers are sometimes willing to accept a few of these.
Right. Well, and then, you know, the other thing, too, Chris, is that the only last thing that worries me a little bit about having an inspection that I've paid for that now that buyer made a buying decision using, you're liable. Because what if they miss something? Now you're liable because you provided them with that report. And I see that's where then you make them almost want to sign an as-is or something. And I don't know. I'm a worrywart, but protect my sellers.
That's good. You got to protect them.
Let's take a break. We can invite our listeners, certainly, as we always like to, either by phone or by text if you have a real estate question, 651-989-9226. Text, if that's easier, 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show. If you have that kind of a question, real estate type, call us or text us. By the way, that text number is 81807. Here again, Chris and Andy.
Yeah, kind of following up on that offers that we were talking about. I think a big thing is, and I'm sure we all have stories on this, but taking these offers personally. Yeah. You know, after you've been sitting on the market for a little while and someone comes in and, I mean, just really goes hard at you. I mean, it's hard to get the seller past that. What are some of the things you guys do to kind of make that a little easier?
It's tough, man. I tell you, especially when people see the market going, you know, and everybody in the neighborhood sold for 325 and all of a sudden you want to list at 330. And it's like, why? You know, and how are you're making us work twice as hard for you to get a lowball offer in 6 months instead of saying list at 325.5 or 326.5. And then people go, oh, that's close enough. Let's just do it. And then the appraiser's okay with it. But when you start making those bigger jumps like 5 and 10 and 15,000 just because it makes sense to you and not the market, I struggle with that because, you know, the market isn't moving quite that fast. And I'm actually seeing where I think the market's going to plateau a little bit here, where we're not going to see 6% this year. I think you're going to see closer to 3% on appreciation, which is more normal. And I think we'll see that next year, too. I think that the market, as it figures itself out, and people are not selling as much as we want them to, and building is getting so expensive that people, that's not a viable option. There's still a need for affordable housing in the market, and there's just not a lot to fill it. So I think we're going to see an odd market the rest of the year. So I'd say price them at or what your neighbor sold for right now so that you're successful now versus waiting 6 months to sell.
Yeah, but what happens when that offer comes in?
And it's lower.
And it's super low. And it's, yeah. I mean, maybe a different example is it's $600,000 and they come in at $500,000. You know, I think preparing a seller for that, I know what I do. I don't talk anything about the price. I go through everything else first, and then I'll come in and say, you know, here's where they're coming at. But, you know, if there's other things that are positive about it, rather than throwing, you know what, oh, this is stupid. It's only $500,000. You know, but if you do the other thing positive, then maybe you can work with it.
But in that circumstance, you know, where you're talking about, the offer comes in drastically low and you're doing exactly what Chris said, talking about all the terms, and you get the price and they almost hang up on you or kick you out of their house, right? They're mm-hmm. so upset with the offer. But, you know, at the end, we end up putting it together and, you know, it all works
well,
out.
Well, you guys, let me ask you this. So, like in that first-time home buyer, first home seller market, you don't see that much of a cutthroat.
No.
Where you see the cutthroat is where you see the guys and gals that are entrepreneurs, business owners, attorneys, you know, whatever. And those people are sophisticated, and they're looking, they're like, let's see what we can get away with. And they'll lowball you just to see if they can get it. They're not doing it necessarily, you know. A lot of times the best compliment to an offer is a counter, because then they feel like they've achieved their bottom with you, and they know. So you come back at six, you know, it's at six, they offer you five, you come back at, you know, 575, and they say, sweet, we saved 25 grand. And that's all they're trying to do is get something, you know. And so, anyway.
And some people are just that way. And then I look at it and say, okay, people just don't, contrary to popular belief, people just don't go on a house and say, you know what, 600, I'll give you 500. Will you take it? No, they've already put mm-hmm. Susie and Billy in their bedrooms. They know what school they're going to. They know where the lake is. They've done that, mm-hmm. you know. And so they've given value to that house. Now it might be just their, hey, you know what, I'm just going to try it and see what happens. But I'll tell you what. We usually can get those things together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh.
I say don't give up. Yeah, keep fighting. I mean, don't be afraid to counter a good offer, like you're saying, Chris, because sometimes it's just the personalities of that higher-end buyer that are saying, let's go get a deal. But that's why they're successful. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I can't blame them.
Get the best price. But sometimes that really backfires on people. When it does,
some people,
you can't put the deal together.
Right.
And then it's done. And it's like they keep coming back and coming back. I had one. I remember it was in Apple Valley, and we were at $479.9. These people came in at 360. 3 months later, we're still working on it. They paid $479.9 because the seller was refusing, wouldn't do it mm-hmm. because of that lowball offer. These people wanted the house, and they just had to kind of keep inching up. It was kind of funny.
If you have a real estate question, 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phones. Who's first up here? Richard is calling from Apple Valley. Go ahead, Richard.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. My wife and I sold our house about a year ago, and we went into rental to transition. And this year we're back in the market, and we're looking. And we sold in about the 450 bracket, and we've been out looking for about the same. But I got to tell you, after 2 months of looking, even at those prices, we're finding a considerable amount of what I can only term as junk out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was even one house where they admitted that if it rained and you used the washing machine, the basement flooded.
That's good disclosure.
Well, yeah, the funny part is he didn't even have a disclosure on premises, and he said he had one in the car, but he refused to go get it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll tell you, you do. You get all types, but I'll tell you what, you keep what do you tell someone that's looking like that? I mean, they put their life on hold. They went into a mm-hmm. rental. You know, they're not finding what they want. I mean, and I'm sure it's probably in a particular area, but opening up that area, well, like going to Waconia, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but opening up that area, I mean, that might be a way in which to do it, or finding a group of homes and have your agent go after those group of homes.
Well, you know, and I don't know what, you know, Richard's situation is, but a lot of the empty nester, they sold the big house and they want to move into something nice. They have $450,000 in their pocket, so they want to spend $450,000. One of the other strategies that's out there is changing your price point just a little bit. I mean, and going from 450, maybe even to 500, you know, or whatever. And a $50,000 mortgage, it's eaten up pretty quick if you pay down the payments on it, and it's very affordable. And now you might have 30 more houses to look at because you've raised your price point to 501. And it doesn't mean that you have to pay 501, because now you do your research and maybe that property is overpriced and you pull it back down in the price range of where you should be. What's your thought?
I just wanted to hear you talking.
Waiting for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
He'll take a call.
Do we still have time? Yes,
yeah.
We do. Bill is calling from Newmarket. Bill, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hey, I just kind of want to see, it's probably more of a thing for Chris, what the hobby farm market south and the south metro would be.
It's very, very good. I mean, especially if you have big buildings. I mean, that's a huge thing in which to be able to get. I mean, hobby farm, if it's a smaller one, but it's got like cute buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still, that obviously is good too, but you know, larger horse things. I think that more is a, I mean, there's kind of a cap on that, but I'll tell you what, it's all about that pole building. If you have a nice storage, house, you got an access.
Well, and Jeff Schultz, you're a Waconia guy, so what's the south, you know, west kind of corner? What are his hobby farms out that way?
Yeah, high in demand. I mean, that's just it. You know, everybody, you know, it's no longer the 2-car garage is enough for the 3-car garage. We've accumulated toys, and everybody wants buildings for storage and their toys and play. So what we're seeing out there is, in the last month or two, a little increase in that supply. There's been a few more country properties that have come on the market, but, you know, the demand is definitely there. So they're
good.
Yeah, we got another text here that we didn't, by the way, we didn't forget, but it says, don't forget Wonderful Lolo's on Lake Waconia. We drive from Bloomington for their wonderful pizza and their view of the lake.
How about that?
You can drive from Eden Prairie, too.
That's it's close. Tempting. Real close. Tempting. I think we may try that.
Yeah. But Waconia, we've been talking about that today. It is it's a neat little gem out there. It's not like it's unknown, because a lot of people are out there and a lot of development's happening. But any last parting words for you?
Well, again, we've just got a mixed supply of homes out there, and anything from a townhome in the upper 100s to something on the lake, like I said, for $1.5 million, $2 million. And one of the big trends that we're seeing out in Waconia is, the younger couples coming in, but also now moms and dads, grandma and grandpa, are moving to Waconia for our health care. They want to be around kids and grandkids.
They follow those grandbabies for sure.
We have a client from Prior Lake looking in Cologne.
How do they get a hold of you? If they want to search for houses or get set up on a search out there, how do they do that, Jeff?
Well, you know, they can visit our site called WaconiaExperts.com, or they can call our office at 952-442-1040, and we'd be glad to help. We want to be a good resource for them.
And you, Prasky.com for you.
Yep.
ChrisRooney.com for me.
And we're going to have another show next week, I hope.
Yes, we are.
All right. The holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend, coming up next week. Again, Andy, how do we get in touch with you?
Anything north and northwest metro, Prasky.com. Check us out. And there's numbers on there and website, good listings, everything else.
Yep, ChrisRooney.com.
All right. Very good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.